Consider this for a moment. What is the biggest challenge that you have ever faced in life? I want you to think about that for just a moment, because each and every day we have these challenges that come in our lives, some bigger than others. And think about the question I just asked you. What is the biggest challenge that you have ever faced in your life? Now, as you think about that, my question is, how did you handle it? Sometimes people go back and they say, well, you know, I didn't do so well with this, or I would have done things different. Consider that for just a moment. We're going to be back in just a second. We're going to be looking at the fall of Jericho out of the book of Joshua, chapter 6. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Central Baptist Church Bible Study. We're so glad that you're with us. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. We're going to be looking at the fall of Jericho. Now, to start our broadcast this evening, I ask you, what was the biggest challenge that you had ever faced in life? There are times that we go through life and these challenges are going to come. It's not a matter of if they're going to come, it's when they come. Some are bigger than others, but how was it that you faced one of the biggest challenges of your life? How did you handle it? As you review that in your mind right now, what were some of the things that you said, well, you know what, I think I probably would have done this different, or I probably would have changed that, or I wouldn't have done this at all, or I wouldn't have done that at all. Consider that as we look at God's word today, at the fall of Jericho out of the book of Joshua, chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Joshua chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. Verse 4, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast that with the ram's horn, and you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, and every man straight before him. Verse 6, then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the 7 trumpets bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priest who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. Verse 11, so he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. And the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. Verse 15, but it came to pass that on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day, they only marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, and it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, and with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the men who had spied out the country, "Go into the harlot Rahab's house, and from there bring out the woman and all she has, as you swore to her." And the young men who had been with the spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwelled in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them all at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds the city of Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we just ask that we would be still in your presence, that we might be understanding and hearing of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit moves in our lives today. Father, there's much that you can teach us from your word, from these passages today. And Lord, I ask that as your messenger for these moments, that you truly would be lifted up, that people would hear you. Lord, that everybody who tunes into this broadcast today would have the opportunity to draw close to you. And Lord, as always, we pray that if there's one in your presence that doesn't know you, that today truly would be the day they would give their life to you, and there would be rejoicing of the saints in heaven. So, Father, we ask that you would just bless our time in a very special way today. As, Father, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, today, as we look at the scriptures and our story, Joshua and the Israelites had to conquer the fortified city of Jericho in order to possess the promised land. Now, remember, as we led into our focal passage for today, they had successfully crossed the Jordan. God had done some incredible things, and they have entered the promised land. This is something that they had been on a journey for decades to come about. And yet they had an opportunity before. They messed that up. They had to roam in the wilderness for 40 years. Moses has died. Joshua is appointed leader. They have crossed over. Now they are in the promised land. You have to remember too what God told them as they were going, as he promised them this land that flowed with milk and honey. He told them, he said, "I am going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over you. I am going to give it to you." But that didn't mean that it wasn't going to come with its challenges along the way. Remember how we started off? What were some of the biggest challenges that you've had in life? You know, folks, here is a myth that people propagate today, is that when you become a Christian, everything is just going to be wonderful and everything is just going to fall in place all the time. That's not what God has told us. That is faulty thinking, and it is faulty theology. But as we consider this today, what God did tell them was, he said, "I will be with you. I will give the land over to you." It didn't mean that it wouldn't come without its battles. Folks, in our lives today, as we live a Christian life, there are going to be challenges, there are going to be tests, there are going to be battles that are going to come up in our life. God never promised us that He would make all of our storms go away, but rather what He promised us was that He would carry us through each and every one of those storms. So now, as Israel has entered into the promised land, the first thing they're going to have to do is conquer the fortified city of Jericho in order to be able to possess that promised land. Now, when you think about it, why do you think that God put Jericho, along with its high walls, its protective features, why do you think God put that in their path to the promised land? Here was one of the first big challenges that they were going to have. As you consider that, I believe with all my heart that it was God wanting to show the people that He truly was going to be with them, and that if they followed Him, if they did exactly what He said that He would do, He would bless them in some magnificent ways. And the only way to really find that out is to go through those challenges. Folks, that's no different for you and I on this very day. God is going to allow challenges to come in our way. He is going to see if we are going to trust Him as we undertake these challenges. And folks, they're not going to be small ones. There are going to be times in your life that there are going to be challenges that you cannot handle on your own. Without God, you are not going to be able to do it. When you look at this particular instance, when you look at how Jericho was built and how it was fortified, we consider the fact that there was no way that Israel was going to be able to take it on their own. And God gave them some pretty interesting instructions on how they were going to be taking that land. We'll get to those in just a moment. But I believe with all my heart that God allowed Jericho to be an obstacle in their way simply because the people of Israel were going to have to trust God. There was no way they could do it in and of themselves. It is common, for God to test people of faith in this day and age, just as it was in that day of age. How have you stood up to the test of faith that have come along in your life? Have you been victorious? As you evaluate those things, would you say, there's some things I would have done different? See, we have this problem. We want to be in control. We for the most part, that's the way we are. We want to have control over the situations. We want to have control over everything that takes place in our lives. And I call us control freaks. It's hard for us to hand these things over to God and allow Him to show us His strength, His provision, His will in our lives. Sometimes that's hard to do, okay? There were tests of faith that the Israelites faced along the way. They also faced a test of faith in their first opportunity to possess the promised land. If you will remember back, it was the place they came to called Kadesh Barnea, and that was where they sent the 12 spies into the land. Now, think about the test of faith that was undertaken in that endeavor. When they came back, 10 of the spies said, "We can't do this. I mean, there are giants in the land. They make us look as grasshoppers." They did confirm that the promised land was everything that God said it would be. It truly was a land that flowed with milk and honey. And yet, they said, "We can't do it. It's an obstacle that is in our way." It was a test of faith. They were being tested to see whether or not they were going to trust God at His word. God said, "I will give you this land. This is a land that I have promised you." And yet, when they came back, only two were faithful. Joshua, their leader at this particular passage we're dealing with, Joshua and Caleb were the two that came back and said, "We can do it," if for no other reason other than the fact that God said we could do it. He told us He would give us this land, and we need to be faithful to go get it. Well, Israel failed the test there. That is the reason why they were turned into the wilderness to roam for 40 years. And amidst that 40 years, what happened was all of those who were the fighting men, all of those who should have known better and should have been faithful to follow God's promise, they died in the wilderness. Now there is a whole new generation that has actually entered the promised land under the leadership of God Almighty through Joshua. And the very first test that they have is, you're going to come up against this place called Jericho. Okay, it is common for God to allow the testing of faith in the hearts and the lives of his people. Now we see once again, you know, 40 some years later, they're getting another shot at entering the promised land. Now they should be able to remember back and say, well, we messed up at Kadesh Barnea. We're not going to mess up now. We know God is faithful. We're going to trust him. We're going to follow his word, his will, and we're going to follow his messenger into the promised land and do whatever he says. In fact, the passages that we read coming up this week leading into our focal passage today tell us that they agreed. They were going to follow what Joshua said in the same manner that they had followed Moses before that. And they so far had kept their word. Their response this time was different than last time. So far, they had faithfully stepped through the Jordan. They had stepped into the promised land, and now another challenge has come up. And they could sit back and say, well, you know what? God was faithful in our crossing over. Now he'll be faithful as he said he would for us to conquer Jericho. Now, in spite of overwhelming odds against Israel, what promise did God give Joshua concerning Jericho? Now, let's go back and look at verses 1 and 2 of our passage today. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, okay, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. Its king and the mighty men of valor. God once again is making a promise. He says, I have given Jericho to you. It doesn't look like it at that point. Matter of fact, the walls are still standing. The enemy is still closed up in there. And it doesn't at that particular point from the earthly or man standpoint, it looks like, well, we're not any different now than we were before we crossed over. But God, the Lord is promising. He says, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. It's king and the mighty men of valor. Once again, he is hearing what God is doing, and God is being the cheerleader. He's saying, look, I'm showing you right here what I'm doing. Now, what he did was he gave some very specific instructions to Joshua to conquer Jericho. We find those in verses 3 through 5, where it says, these are the instructions that he gave. He said, you shall march around the city, all your men of war, you shall all go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpet. And it shall come to pass that when they make the long blast with the ram's horn, and you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the walls of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now, I want you to think about what those instructions were. Picture it. Now, Josh, you might have thought, if you were part of the army, you'd have probably thought at this point that Joshua had lost his mind. He gathers everybody together and he says, here's what the Lord says we're going to do. We're going to, you know, march around the city. Now, if you read on, silently, they will march around the city one time for 6 days. Now, you know, they're gathering the attention of those that are inside the walls of Jericho. They're watching what's taking place. They're watching what's going on. And they just march around the city once, and that's it for the day. The 2nd day, they do the same thing, march around it once, quietly. The 3rd day, the 4th, the 5th, and the 6th, they do the same thing for 6 days in a row. But then on the 7th, they are to march around the city 7 times. And then what's going to happen is they're going to get an order from Joshua. Those that are carrying the ram's horns, they will give a blast on the ram's horn. Then Israel will shout. And it says the instructions that God gave them said that the walls of Jericho will fall down. That sounds like a really interesting battle plan. It also sounds like an impossible battle plan. It probably did for the Israelites in the same way that it sounds almost impossible for me and you today. Now, what comes into play here? You have to trust that what God said is true. Israel had to trust that the instructions God gave them, if followed correctly, would bring about an outcome that would deliver the city over to Israel. Okay? Now, what is the thing that sounds so crazy in your life? When we're in these situations and when we're in these circumstances, sometimes God gives us instructions that sound crazy. Well, let me just make you this promise. God said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I have what is best for you at heart and in mind. Just be faithful to follow me. And when you do, you will see God do some incredible things, just like Israel did here at Jericho. He gave specific instructions to Joshua in how to conquer the city of Jericho. And you know what? Here's the one big thing. To do this was going to require great faith. The reason why is because it sounds like an impossible battle plan. You know, earthly, what is blowing a ram's horn going to do? How's that going to bring the walls down? Of course, they didn't know. They were just sitting there probably thinking, this is crazy, but we're going, we have followed God thus far. He's taken care of us. Let's give it a shot. And when they did, God was faithful to do exactly what he told them he would do. And this requires great faith. The same way that it required Israel to have great faith back in its encounter with Jericho, you and I are required to have great faith as we go forward in our lives. If we ever want to see God do incredible things, it is going to require great faith. If we're ever going to see God do what appears to be the impossible for us, it is going to require great faith. So let me pose this question to you today. Where is your faith? Is your faith minuscule? Is it little faith, or is it great faith? In the circumstances and situations of your life, are you exercising great faith in God, and are you following the directions that God has given you in life? Now, sometimes people would say, well, I'm not getting any directions. Folks, let me make you a promise that the Word of God gives you the directions. God speaks to you through prayer. He speaks to you through His Word. He speaks to you through messages just like this. And He speaks to you through other godly people. Take all that and culminate it into one thought process and watch what God will do. You know, God could have destroyed Jericho by himself. Yeah, God could have just said, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to take care of Jericho and move on. But what he did was he did something that he is still wanting to do to this day. God is inviting his people to join him in the work that he is doing. That means believers. That means you. That means me. He wants us to be a part of what he's doing. Man, God absolutely could have just squashed Jericho all by himself. So consider it. Why do you think that he chose to involve the Israelites in this battle? Because he wanted them to participate with him. Why do you think that God is allowing you or wanting you to join him in what he is doing? Because he wants you to be a part of it. You are his child. You are his children as we go forward. He wants us to understand his power, his might, and his will. And the way to do that is to follow him by steps of faith in our lives. There are many lessons that we could learn from this particular instance where God empowered the Israelites to overtake Jericho. Now, once again, God is the one who brought forth the victory. When God says, I am going to give you victory, you can take it to the bank. It is going to happen. When God says, I want to include you in this, he wants you to be a part of it. The person that is losing out is you if you don't participate in what God is wanting to do. He is wanting to move you to a different place in your walk with him. He is wanting to move you closer to him. He's wanting to reward you for your faithfulness. So when we think about that, I continue to carry you back to the question that I opened up with when I asked you about what were some of the challenges that you had in life. What was the greatest challenge that you had in life? Now, when you compare what we're learning in this scripture to the greatest challenge that you had personally in your life, how did you do with that? Did you follow what God was telling you? Were you faithful and obedient to listen to what it was that he was telling you to do so that he might give you victory along the way? What are the lessons that you learned from the great challenge that you had in your life? Or I say challenge, it could be multiple challenges along the way. Okay. Now, as we undertake our Bible studies, I've always asked you to look for examples to follow. Okay. So when we look at our passage today, what characteristics of godly leadership can we learn from Joshua in our chapter today, verses 6 through 21? What are some godly characteristics? Well, one of those is to be able to pass along. First of all, you've got to be in contact with God. Yeah, God was speaking specifically to Joshua. And when God spoke to Joshua, it was Joshua's job to let all of the people of Israel know what God's instructions were. Now, so often in our day and age, that's no difference than what God has called me to do as a pastor or any other God-called pastor. We are to commune with Him in His Word. We are to commune with Him in prayer. We are to hear from God that we go before the people that He has graciously allowed us to minister to give God's word, to give His word for you. Do you realize that today God has given me the word to give to you as you follow Him? Now, that there are some differences between the days of Joshua and our day today. The Holy Spirit has always existed. Let's first of all make that very clear. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have always existed, but the Holy Spirit was not given at that time to man. So that was the reason why God used Moses. That is the reason why God used men like Joshua to disseminate His word, to disseminate His instructions to the people. Okay? Here's a godly example to follow. Are you following godly leadership in your life? If you are in that leadership position, are you in contact with God, getting the directions from God, or are you making it up on your own as you go? Think about that for just a moment. You know what? God is using Roy Carter in the same manner that He used Joshua in the days of the Old Testament to give you His instructions, to go to His word. And that is what it needs to be about, folks. It needs to be about His word. It needs to be about our walk with Him. These are some examples that we can follow along the way. If you are a leader, be a godly leader. If you are a follower, follow godly leadership. If the leadership you're following is not godly, then it is time to find some godly leadership. It's plain and simple. Okay. Now, we also know the story of Rahab. We talked about her last week. Rahab of Jericho also became a person who was used in the hands of God to be a leader. Think about traits of godly leadership. What are some traits of godly leadership that we could learn from Rahab? Look at verse 22 with me. Verse 22 starts telling us... It says, but Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and from there bring out the woman and all that she has as you swore to her. And the young men who had been the spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. Okay. So what happened was because of her faithfulness, because of the fact, and we talked about it last week, that some might say, well, she was just trying to save her own skin. The bottom line is she was used by God in the hand of God to help be a critical part of Israel's victory in their battle against Jericho. Now, how? Because remember, they sent spies. Israel sent spies into the land. They stayed with Rahab. Rahab actually sent the soldiers of Jericho. And she actually said, well, they've left, and she was hiding them up on the roof, remember? But she told those of the warriors of Jericho that they had already left. She said, if you hurry, if you pursue them, you could probably catch them. Well, she protected them. But she said, all I'm asking is for one thing. As I do God's will, may God's favor be upon me. When you take the city. And she said, look, they're afraid. We know that your God is God. We know that He's going to bring you victory. Now, she said, I know that. She said, maybe Jericho doesn't, but I know. And she said, just promise me this, because I have taken care of you, because I've looked after you in this situation, that you will spare me, spare my family, spare my goods. They made that promise to Rahab, and they kept that promise. Because remember, the spies went back, and they told Joshua, and Joshua said, in the midst of this battle, when the walls fall down, he says, you charge. But he sent the two spies that had had the encounter with Rahab. He said, you go get her. You go get her father, her mother, her brothers, everything that had been promised. Yeah, remember you said, bring her, to have her bring all of her family over to her house. So you get them out of there so they don't incur the wrath of God. They escaped it. Think about how that plays out today. God is still telling you that there is His wrath that is going to take place, that it's going to come. He is going to judge those who are lost. He is going to rapture those who are saved. He calls those. Sometimes it's through death's door. But when that rapture occurs, he's taken all of his out of harm's way. And then when that tribulation starts, it's going to be a bad time here on earth. Think about those things. As always, God once again is sitting there saying, I'm giving you time. I am giving you an opportunity to give your heart over to the Lord before the judgment falls. Maybe we should be more like Rahab in that regard, to realize that danger is coming. Folks, let me make you a promise. If you don't know Christ, danger is coming in your life. It is permanent and it is forever. It is eternal. If you don't know Christ, if you do know Christ, then you have chosen wisely. You have chosen eternal life with God the Father through Jesus the Son. You have chosen the promised land. You have chosen the place called heaven. What choice have you made today? You've made one or two of those choices, even as you hear my voice. You know, are you one of God's children or are you one of the children of darkness? It's plain and simple. Realize something. The danger is coming. Are you safe? Are you protected? Are you like Rahab in this instance that you have turned to and trusted God in that regard? I hope and pray that you truly have. Yeah, Rahab of Jericho turned out to be an instrument in the hand of God. And even though we still identify her with the adjective of that of a harlot, okay? Folks, when godly men and women lead and people follow, the results can be incredible. When people see what we do, when they see us and how we follow the Lord, we can see people come to know him. We can see the kingdom of heaven being enhanced. It is just amazing. Now, I want you to listen to some scriptures that we find over in Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to listen when I read you these two verses about some common denominators that are found in all godly leaders. The passage comes out of Hebrews chapter 11, and it's verses 30 and 31. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Now, do you see a repetitive theme in those two verses? It says, by faith, these are the things that took place. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. Faith. Now, what else do we know that the New Testament tells us when it comes to salvation? That we are saved by grace through faith. And that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't save yourself. You have to have faith, believing in the things even that you cannot see when it comes down to God's word and when it comes down to God's promise. Okay? Now, let me ask you this question. Can you be a strong spiritual leader without faith? I would have to say, no, you cannot. You know, you've got to be able to trust God you got to be in communication with him to get his word. You have got to be in his word to be able to understand how he would have for us to live and what he wants us to do. You've heard me say this a bunch of times, that the word is a living word. It is applicable to you where you are today. You have got to be a person of faith, and I mean strong faith, to be a good, strong spiritual leader. It doesn't happen outside of that. Even to be a follower, you know, you need to have the faith that it takes to trust what God is saying through his leaders. Many times you may have heard people say this, or a spiritual leader. As a pastor, I would say, follow me as I follow God. Okay? Now, I've always issued the challenge to everybody at Central Baptist Church. You make sure that what we're doing is in this word. If it violates the scriptures, then I will promise you it is not from God. If it is in keeping with the scriptures, I can promise you that it is of God. We need to make our decisions and choices to whom we will follow. I love the passage that says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Yeah, I also like the passage that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Okay. Now, when we're following God's will, you know, sometimes God is going to allow big obstacles to come in our path. And when you consider it, how many times have we said, well, Lord, why? Yeah, I've been doing good. I've been communing with you. I've been praying. I've been in my Bible. And it seems like the closer I try to walk with you, the bigger the obstacles come. Listen, folks, that is when God is trying to grow you, stretch your faith, and to grow you to be the person that He wants you to be a person that He can use, and to be that person of faith that just even living your life out in public and out with your family and friends is a testimony to Him. Okay? So understand this. It's not if obstacles are going to come in your life. It's when obstacles come in your life, because they're going to. They're going to be big challenges that are going to be put out before you. Okay? And there are lessons that we can learn from this particular story about how to handle the obstacles that happen in our lives. We have got to trust God. We've got to call on Him. We've got to hear His word. We've got to follow what He says. And even though we don't like it, folks, I can promise you that there's a lot of times God's going to ask us to do some things that we don't like to do because they seem just utterly crazy. I mean, think about what He told Joshua to tell the people. Imagine if you were one of the people in the armies under the leadership of Joshua, and all of a sudden Joshua says, well, guys, okay, look, I've been with God. I've got the battle plan. Here's the battle plan. What we're going to do is we're going to march around the city. Be very, very quiet. So we're just going to march around the city one time, and we're going to do that for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, what we're going to do is we're going to march around it seven times. And then when I give the signal and the trumpets get blown, the ram's horns get blown, all of a sudden the walls are just going to fall down and we're going to rush in there and get them. Now, you two guys that spied it out, you make sure you keep your promise and go get Rahab and her family so that they're delivered. But the walls are just going to fall down. That sounds just completely absurd. But yet, God said, you be faithful to follow me and you watch what will happen. And what did happen? On that seventh day, when they marched around seven times and when the ram's horns were blown and they shouted, the walls fell down just as God said they would do. Folks, let me tell you something. If God says He's going to do it, you can take it to the bank that it's as good as done. It is going to happen. But it takes faith. It takes us having faith in what God says to follow, even when it doesn't make sense. Okay? Are you facing obstacles in your life today? Is God giving you some directions that just don't seem to make sense? Yeah. How is it that we can better pray for you as you face these obstacles of faith? If there's a way we can pray for you, then I want to encourage you to send me an email. You can find it on our website. It's listed on the screen here. It's www.oakridgecbc.org. On our website, you will find my email address. Feel free to send me an email with your request. Would love to be able to pray for you through this obstacle, because I believe that when you encounter it, God's got something incredible planned for you once He gets you through the obstacle. I think sometimes we get stuck in the wilderness like Israel did. You know, remember, Israel had a chance to go into the promised land more than 40 years earlier. And yet, because of their disobedience, because of the obstacle, and because of their fear and their lack of faith, they wound up having to roam in the wilderness 40 years. And God gave them another chance. Folks, this may be your second chance. This may be your opportunity to trust what God is saying. And if what He's asking you to do sounds crazy, just let me encourage you to go on and do it, trusting that God will pull through, that God will do exactly what He's told you that He will do. Just like Jericho. Blowing a trumpet and shouting sounds like the last thing in the world that would bring the complete walled perimeter of the city of Jericho down. But yet God is powerful. They followed Him. They were faithful and obedient, and they saw victory, and you will too. Listen, let us pray for you as you encounter those obstacles along the way. In fact, we need to pray for one another today to realize that there's no obstacle that is too big for God. There is no challenge that is too big for God. Even when it looks impossible for us, may our faith be stretched and strengthened as we go forward because of allowing God to take care of the obstacles in our lives. We'll pray for just that in just a moment, but let me go ahead and give you the Bible readings for this week. This week's Bible readings will be Joshua chapter 14. And it's a little bit different, so you want to follow me on this. Joshua chapter 14, Joshua chapter 20, and then Joshua chapters 22 through 24. That's only five chapters, but we're skipping a little bit there. So Joshua 14, Joshua 20, and then Joshua 22 through 24. So that's 22, 23, 24. Let me give it to you again. Joshua 14, that's one. Joshua 20, that's number two. Then Joshua 22, 23, and 24. Those are your five passages for this week. Next week, we're going to look at the statement, choose whom you will serve, out of the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 14 through 28. We pray that you'll join us. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that as we follow you, you are going to allow challenges and obstacles in our way. Lord, that doesn't mean that you are trying to push us down. It doesn't mean that you are trying to repress us. But what it means is that you are trying to strengthen us. Lord, you're trying to get us to where you want us to be, in a place where we can be used even more or better by you. Lord, you're trying to grow us in your grace and grow us in your strength. Father, today I pray that we would exemplify great faith for you in our lives, and that people in our lives would see our great faith and want to follow you, that they might have faith in you and that they may trust you. Lord, the obstacles seem big, they seem huge, they seem insurmountable, but Lord, right now I just pray that you will help us to be much like Israel, much like Joshua, as we face these obstacles. And Lord, when we do, I just pray that we will see the victory and that we will give you all the credit, the glory, and it will be a spiritual marker that we can rely on for the rest of our lives to say, look what God did in this situation. Imagine what God can do in what we're facing. So Lord, give us all a great week. We look forward to the opportunity to gather together to worship you in person. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I love you. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you in the house of the Lord on Sunday. If you're not in the Oak Ridge area, listen, be sure to join us right here next Wednesday as we once again open God's Word and look at Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 28. Take care.